At the beginning of this year's Lenten Tide, I expressed the hope that by the end, you could all confess with Eusebius that Christ, the divine and heavenly Logos, alone is the high priest of the whole world. He alone the king of the whole creation. He alone the supreme prophet of his Father among all prophets. So far, we have seen that Christ is indeed the supreme prophet, the one who not only speaks the word of the Lord, but is himself that word incarnate. Jesus proclaims the gracious will of God, the gospel message, and the message that his prophetic witness testifies to. The content of Christ's prophetic message is the good news that he is the perfect high priest, who offers himself up as a once and for all sacrifice to pay for the sins of the whole world. And last week, you heard about Christ's reign as king in the kingdom of grace. That in the church, Christ rules over his people, not as earthly kings do, with force, but instead he reigns with the forgiveness of sins. In the name of Christ the King. Amen. In the book of Hebrews, we read about the divine paradox. The Father has put everything in subjection to Jesus. He left nothing outside his control, but at present, we do not yet see everything in subjection to him. We who have been made alive by Christ's redeeming work and dwell in his kingdom of grace look around and see a world that appears to be ruled by chaos. A world so dominated by the devil and enthralled to death that it strikes out at God and his saints. We see the princes and powers of this world that hate God and his church. Now, of course, it is clearest in places like Southeast Asia or the Middle East or Africa, where the church is openly assaulted with violence. The hounds of hell smell the stench of life on those who have been redeemed by Christ, and they violently pursue. We recall those two churches not so many years ago, which were bombed on Palm Sunday in the Egyptian cities of Alexandria and Tanta. And the Christians there who responded not with violence, but by gathering together outside the ruined buildings of their sanctuaries and chanting the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God. They gathered in the face of death without fear because they had the victory of faith. Their eyes saw the victory of the world, the victory of death. Their churches ruined and the bodies of 128 of their brothers and sisters dead and mangled by the bombs. Yet they confessed, I believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, who was made man, who was crucified, who was buried, and who rose again according to the scriptures, and ascended and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. He shall come again with glory to judge the quick and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. With eyes of faith, they saw the divine paradox. At present, we do not yet see everything in subjection to him, but Christ is upon the throne. He lives and reigns with the Father. Everything is in subjection to Jesus. Nothing is left outside his control. Christ, our perfect high priest, who suffered, who died, who experienced all our human frailties and pains, omnipotently rules this world. So that St. Paul, who suffered beatings and persecutions and execution, can confess, we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. The devil, with all his plots, with all his demons, with all his worldly minions, rages against God. But the gates of hell will not prevail against the church because Christ reigns. Christ is sovereign over this world. He is king. He is Lord. The psalmist asks, the psalmist says, why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. Yet he who sits in the heavens laughs. The Lord holds them in derision. In fact, all of the devil's assaults must serve the Lord's church. When Christ came in the flesh to redeem the world, Satan and his allies attacked him with all their fury and all their might. They crucified and killed him and sealed their own fate. For it was through his death that Christ defeated them and won salvation for all mankind. We read again in the book of Hebrews, Jesus was crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering and death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. Now in this present age, we see Christ's reign in faith. We know that he rules this world with power, and we know that he rules here in his church with the forgiveness of sins. Here he speaks to his people through his word. He claims them in holy baptism. He forgives them in the holy absolution and gives them and feeds them himself in his holy supper. For now, we who live in the kingdom of grace see through faith, but we long for the day when we will see fully. We long for the day when we will see with our own eyes the vision that Daniel saw. Annalise, put down your shirt. Behold, the clouds of heaven, there came one like a son of man. And he came to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. And to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom one that shall not be destroyed. When we suffer, in faith, we cry out with Job, for I know that my Redeemer lives, and at last he will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has been thus destroyed, yet in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eye shall behold and not another. We long to see the kingdom of glory when Christ's reign is no longer hidden, but manifest. On the last day, Christ will come again like himself foretold, saying, you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming with the clouds of heaven. Christ first came in mercy to redeem the world, but on that day he will come in judgment. Jesus says, the Father has given the Son authority to execute judgment. An hour is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and come out. And those who are citizens of the kingdom of grace will be raised and made citizens of the kingdom of glory. As the Apostle Paul says, when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. But to those who reject Christ, to those who persecute his church, those who scheme against God, the psalmist warns, the Lord will speak to them in his wrath and terrify them in his fury, saying, as for me, I have set my king on Zion, my holy hill. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you perish in the way, for his wrath is quickly kindled. Now in this present age, we see in a mirror dimly, but in the kingdom of glory, we will see Christ face to face. Now in the kingdom of grace, we know in part, we comprehend through faith, but then we will see fully. We will know God as he knows us now. As sojourners in the world, we still feel the pangs of sorrow. We see the horrors of death and are racked by sin, but then in the kingdom of glory, he will wipe away every tear from our eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. By his Holy Spirit, Christ has called and gathered you into his kingdom of grace. He has redeemed you, a lost and condemned person. He has purchased and won you from all sins, from death and from the devil with his holy and precious blood, so that you may be his own and live under him in the kingdom of glory and serve him in everlasting righteousness, blessedness, and innocence forever. Amen.